Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2022, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy, wonderful Wednesday to you people. I hope you are having a happy day already. I hope things are lining up in a way you hoped that they would. I hope that the day is living up to what you prayed it would. You did wake up with a goal and plan, didn't you? Oh, I heard a lot of yeses out there, but somebody said, say what? Well, I'll repeat it. I said you woke up with a goal and a plan, didn't you? Well, no. It doesn't need to be a major undertaking that I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be your great, big, old, awesome, amazing master plan, although those things are good. But waking up, getting started, and with some kind of positive something in mind can really set the sail in navigating your day. Trust me and believe. Even if you said today is a day of rest, I'm not going to do anything, absolutely nothing. Well, that's a nice goal. If you need the rest, for sure, do it. But if you got up with no plan, no goal, no focus, no idea, no steps in mind about anything, well, that's a quick and sure way to have an unsuccessful and probably an unhappy day. Two, no goal, no focus, no ideas or steps. Oh, my. But look. If you had it on your mind or on your to-do list in your objectives for today to check out this thing called emotional intelligence, well, ding, 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 you won the ticket today. You can check off that goal today is done. Look at you. I see you already coming up with some more goals. Yes, indeed. Go out and get them because that, I think, is so very intelligent of you. Mm-hmm. Intelligence is a good thing, right? Using your head to make wise choices and decisions is usually considered smart, growing in the way you think. Particularly, I'm big on that. Growing in the way you think and expanding your knowledge definitely makes you smarter. And being wise in your approach to life, well, that's very, 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 very intelligent. Well, today we'll be talking about a type of intelligence where all of those things come into play. I'm going to be talking about emotional intelligence. So sit back, grab a pen and paper, and take a real good listen to what I'll be sharing with you. And if you want to call, the number is 515-602. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is the right number. 515-602-9775. I have a number that I call in that I was thinking that was the wrong one. But 515-602-9775 is the number for you to call and join in if you've got something you'd like to contribute today. Well, of course, one of the things that motivated me today to talk about this is that whole Oscar fiasco that happened with Chris Rock and Will Smith. And I had some thoughts and opinions on that. In fact, I was on a radio show that someone invited me to participate in last week to share some of the things that were on my mind about it. So I'm going to take this opportunity to share a little bit. If they come up in the conversation, it's not just meant for them. It's meant for all of us, everybody to take a listen and grow and understand the whole process of emotional intelligence a lot better. So anything that I say, I don't mean any harm toward you or how you do in life, but it might mean you want to perk your ears up a little bit. And anything I say in regard to Jada and Will and Chris, there is absolutely no harm meant. I said this on the radio the other day. I have fan love for all of them. I really do. You know, they've been in our lives for a long time. And so anything that I say is just, I have a limited observation about what happened. Some things have become clearer since then. But I'm just sharing my thoughts about what happened and some things, as I said, that I think will be helpful to both of us. I will say this. I don't believe that what happened with that joke that Chris Rock told was meant as any hate joke or I really believe it was just meant to be funny, and it was. The reaction from Will Smith, I think all of us were kind of waiting to see if that was just some type of measure on his part to bring some additional humor to the situation, and we learned that it just was not. So anyway, in regard to emotional intelligence, I said this. I really believe that Chris responded in a way, particularly with the shock, very professionally, and also with great decorum, controlling his own response and behavior to the situation. I know he was trying to feel his way through those few moments, and that, my friends, is exactly emotional intelligence on display, what you saw from Chris. The way Will reacted was a lot of emotion. That's for sure. I can't say that I understand all of where that response came from. I do think, again, he may have been initially going to try to pull some additional humor out of it until we saw what we saw from his seat when he responded to Chris verbally. We don't know his thought in theory behind this. We only got the look. We only got the feel. We only got the shock of it all. But most of us felt like it was pretty much an incorrect, inappropriate, wrong move to make. And it certainly, in so many ways, proven to be that. Will Smith is an intelligent man, but he acted out of some internal response to it or some ego response that caused him to respond in that way. And being who he is, you know, it's likely, you know, that was his moment. And being who he is, he may have felt like it was going to be a forgivable thing under the circumstances that he explained why he responded that way. It's hard to tell. It's hard to know. At some point, I believe that he will communicate to us all openly what he felt and why he responded in that manner. But those are two perspectives of emotional intelligence and emotion on display. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the outline that I have for you. And again, if you'd like to take notes or something, that would probably be something, you know, worth doing. Something, it may not be you who needs to learn or glean anything from all of this, but you may know of someone who does. And in that event, please share what you hear today or share the show on your social media. So emotional intelligence, what is it really? Well, I got a hard and fast and easy answer to that from Google, just a very succinct description. Now, what I talk about, I didn't find on Google. It's all stuff that I know. I know a little something as a life and work coach. I've taught emotional intelligence and workplace conflict many, many times. So I'm not just coming, you know, left or sideways at you. This is information that I have taught as a subject matter expert. And so I want you to know that it's not just stuff, you know, that I'm blowing out of my ears to you. I really feel there's information here that you can potentially learn from. So that definition of emotional intelligence that I pulled off of Google is the ability to understand, to use, and to manage your own emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, to communicate effectively, to empathize with others, to overcome challenges, and to diffuse conflicts. And I'll also add to fix conflicts as well. So with that in mind, just keep in mind, so this isn't about how smart you are. It's about how smart you are about handling conditions, handling people, handling situations, and handling conflict in your particular world. So I'm going to be breaking that down for you as we go through this over the next hour or so. May not take that long. We'll see. So we'll talk about the ability in itself. Well, I want to start with this, people. This is a reality check. I want you to cash it. Understanding yourself, life, and conflict. Understanding it. There's something about life that we have to know, understand, embrace, deal with, accept on a daily basis. And that is that there is going to be tons of stuff that is going to require a reaction from us, a response from us. So when we speak in terms of emotional intelligence, we're talking about choosing the appropriate ways to respond, the best way to respond to something that will help us get the best resolve from it. So understand that whoever you are, wherever you work, whatever your relationship is, whatever your family situation is, and the list is long, there is going to be stuff. There is going to be conflict. There are going to be confrontations. There is going to be crap that you have to deal with. And how you deal with it is going to be everything. It's going to be everything. So start with that ability in understanding that this is life. You are not going to get up on any given day and you're not going to have something that's going to require reactions and responses from you. There won't be a day like that. There's going to be something. So get it in your mind that that's the ability. Ability equals understanding what I've just explained to you. So with that in mind, we have to decide how we're going to do that. Well, common sense really should tell us many things, just plain old common sense. When we get cut off in traffic, for instance, you get a little agitated, maybe a whole lot agitated. Maybe that's what we're seeing from road rage. I would guess it's some of those things. It's very interesting being out there on the road, for sure. Stuff is happening out there, and it you know, there are people driving crazy. Somebody bumps into you accidentally, and you just take it all the wrong way. Like you thought some stranger just decided he was going to bump into you and start a fight. Or somebody looks at you some kind of way. Or you feel ignored in a situation. There, again, are things that are going to happen, and they're going to happen often. They're going to happen often that are going to make you react or respond in some particular type of way. But common sense needs to tell us that we should not go through these experiences or these conditions or situations, yelling at people or cursing at people, hitting or hurting people as a means to express what it is we're feeling, what it is we perceived, what it is that ever it was that grieved us. Common sense is the other ability that we have to use. That person that cut you off in traffic may have not even been thinking about you, just trying to get where they're going in a hurry. That person that bumped into you, that stranger, again, maybe moving quickly or whatever and just accidentally, and they didn't say excuse me or whatever and that bothered you, but get your botheredness under control. Just try to use the common sense ability to understand, well, whatever. Now, if somebody confronts you directly, that's going to require a whole other level or different type of response. But keep in mind to use common sense to analyze. That's emotional intelligence. Analyze what happened. Do you really care that somebody cut you off in traffic? My first response nowadays is I'm so glad that didn't create an accident, because sometimes, you know, it looks like that could have potentially happened. Someone recently just really banged into my grocery cart, and this particular person meant it with the intention, I wish you would move out of the way. And, you know, I've been in life long enough and know enough of this stuff. I laughed and I looked and I said, okay, I'm moving. And I kept moving. It is not going to be on social media news, me in a fight with somebody in the grocery store because they bumped into my grocery store cart. It won't happen. Common sense will tell me this is not where you want to take your day. This is not where you want to take this situation. And these are the types of things. And again, stuff is going to happen so often that seems like, you know, it made you feel some kind of way. But people, keep in mind, it's truly insignificant in the whole big picture. It's truly insignificant. Don't make the thing bigger than it really is. These people don't know us. We don't know them. And so to have them draw from us such a negative response and potentially get them on another level, you know, that thing where they say don't start nothing, won't be nothing, well, that works in many of the cases. So when these seemingly minor occurrences are happening, use common sense. Don't go into these things. All of a sudden, you are just screaming and cussing and ready to fight. You know, there are things I assume, just because I know it's life, people can get you to the place where you feel like you want to give them a Will Smith slap. I know it can happen. But you have to, again, remember to pull your emotions under control and tell yourself what's going on in those circumstances is not worth me doing that. And again, with the Will Smith situation, the fallout from that has been unfortunate. Take note, you do something that seems out of order, the fallout is going to be the same for you. It's not going to be something positive or good. It's also going to be a situation where you are facing consequences that never even had to happen. Because you responded in a certain kind of way, that's where the whole situation got escalated. So as far as ability, understanding that life is going to hold all kinds of situations and encounters where you are going to be put in a position to respond and react, that's life. That's every single day of life. You already know that. but you will have to make some conscious effort and decisions, again, not to be cursing and yelling and wanting to fight people because of it. Keep it moving and keep your day as positive as you possibly can. Use common sense in understanding what really just happened. There was another grocery store cart situation that happened to me. I was coming out of the grocery store, and there was a woman who didn't want to walk all the way over to where the carts are put up on the parking lot. So she got close, and then she just kind of pushed it and started, you know, going the other way. Well, the cart ran right into my car. And so I turned to her, and she was walking away at that point, and I said, "Hey," you know, not a hateful hey, just "Hey." And she said, "Oh, that was your car?" And then she turned around and kept going to get in her car. Well, again, you know, I'm just not that person that's going to be out in the parking lot or anywhere that's about to start a fight. You know, she kept it moving, and I thought, you know what? Bottom line is just a car. But if I had escalated, it could have been a whole other something. I just don't care like that. I'm going to manage my life and my day and things like that to the best of, what did I say? My ability. My understanding about stuff is going to happen, and using common sense to react and respond. Okay? Got all that? All right. The other thing, it says the how we use it, how we use emotional intelligence. Well, it takes a lot of monitoring, you know, as I just mentioned to you with what I was just explaining to you. You know, you may have situations at work that, you know, make you want to pull your hair out, or definitely make you want to just, you know, sucker punch somebody. There may be, you know, something going on in your marriage where there is a great deal of distress. I pray there is nothing physical going on with that, but our words to people when we are feeling highly emotional can be awful and destructive. It could be with your children. It could be anything, as I said before. But how do we monitor those things? Well, if you're at work, let's talk about that. I know that trying to interact with people, and we all most of the time don't know where the other person is really coming from, you know. So that's why you have to monitor yourself more than you try to manage and monitor somebody else and telling them what they should have said and should have done and all of that and why you're responding that way. When things happen and it feels like conflict is happening, because you, of course, we know we start to feel some tension or some discomfort sometimes when we're relating to people at work or trying to relate or communicate with people at work. Let that particular internal mechanism tell you, okay, I'm starting to feel some kind of way, and it's probably going to make me say something or do something that is not going to be good. That's when you got to stop and throw your emotional intelligence into high gear and tell yourself, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask this person what they meant, or ask them to explain more completely what it is that they wanted to say or what it is that they need from me. Whatever the circumstance may be, whether it's your boss or a coworker or whatever, seek to understand what's going on and to reel yourself in first. That monitoring, you know, we recognize when our emotions are peaking. We recognize, again, the discomfort and the agitation. And when we're feeling that, that's when we need to check ourselves, not just start trying to check the other person because you're feeling that. You cannot manage the other person. You can manage you. And so if our goal, if we're seeking through how we use emotional intelligence to have a resolve or an understanding that is without further misunderstanding and conflict, we have to take that responsibility. And you may be thinking, why do I have to take it when they're saying and doing? Well, because as I said, you can't manage them. And even when you say, don't talk to me like that, or don't do that, or what are you expecting that from me and all of that? Well, you know what? That further complicates the relationship and the communication. So when you reel yourself in, even if it means staying completely quiet for a few seconds or saying, excuse me for a minute, can we pick this up later? Whatever is required for you to maintain and monitor yourself to keep the situation from escalating, that's what needs to be done. That's how you're going to have to handle it. Now, on another aspect, I thought about this when I was writing myself notes. I've been in a couple of work situations where I had bully bosses, truly bully bosses. They didn't just bully me, they bullied everybody because they were large and in charge. And I had to talk to both of them just because they were making me miserable and they were making everybody else miserable. I did not ever approach either one of them with any sassy talk or, you know, even let them know how I was feeling. However, I did do this. I made meeting appointments with both of them, two different workplaces, two different times in my journey. Interestingly, when I sat down with one of them, particularly, this woman was Caucasian, older woman, maybe 10, 15 years older than me at the time. I explained to her what her behavior was like and how it was coming across and how disturbing it was to all of us and even hurtful, painful for some of us. She sat there with her eyes so wide open and seemingly appalled that I was going to, you know, that I was bold enough to tell her. But check this out. She broke down crying and became apologetic and attempted to handle herself differently. I said absolutely nothing to her that was hurtful or harmful or demeaning. I respected her as my boss. But the only way I felt like I could continue to go through my days at that workplace was to present that to her. And if her behavior continued, I was going to have to remove myself from that workplace. I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit at the end of that meeting if it didn't go well. But what I am explaining to you right now is that it was an emotionally intelligent choice that I made to have a discussion to see if we could possibly work this out in a way that there would be a good resolve. In the other circumstance, was an African-American female, and I'm only sharing this because I think that we have to understand that regardless of who it is, race, gender, whatever, if we got an issue and we've decided we can talk about it intelligently, do it respectively now, do it respectively. So anyway, this other woman, I also scheduled a meeting with, sat down, basically told her some of the same things. This particular behavior seemed very directed toward me. That was the difference. The other woman, she treated everybody. She bullied everybody. This particular woman just wanted to bully me. And so we had, well, I had a conversation. I did most of the talking. It was almost exactly the same response. This woman also broke down crying. What I perceived that to be was feeling a sort of ashamed about it, and maybe that somebody brought it to her attention. For me, I had no intentions of creating those kind of breakdowns from them. I'm just telling you the real deal truth that happened in these situations. And telling you because there are choices you can make about how you handle a situation. Now, you could go around moaning and groaning about your job, or, again, you can make some emotionally intelligent moves about how you handle it. With her, I was also ready to resign if that conversation had not gone well. But she did apologize to me, and I even ended up, I even prayed for her. She allowed me to do that. Sometimes I guess people don't even recognize, you know, where they're coming from or how it's being perceived. But in this situation, it was direct bullying directly meant to make me feel less of whatever she thought she was doing. It didn't work. But there's so much you can learn when you apply emotional intelligence to circumstances. All you have to do, I tell you people, again, I hope you're taking notes, if not for real ones, mental ones, because there are skill sets in emotional intelligence that absolutely work, that will not fail you, but you have to be prepared for the response. Now, both of them could have kicked up their heels and kicked me out of there, but that wasn't what happened. If you try this and that happens, again, be prepared for that before going in, that that could happen. And it's my hope and prayer that if they kick up heels and ready to kick you out, that you do that with some dignity and respect as well. Again, these are emotional, intelligent responses and reactions to situation, stuff and things that's going to happen every single day of your life. Know it. Count on it. Be ready for it. Now, when there are circumstances going on with close relationships, family, marriages, and all of that, you know, I can't cover the whole spectrum of stuff that can happen. Again, all I can share with you today is managing, monitoring yourself and your self-talk, your baby behavior, and how you speak to yourself about what's going on. When relationships, particularly in a marriage, are stressed and, you know, you're not taking as much care and concern and love about your verbal exchanges, it can be hard because that stuff can get deeper and worse with every conversation. I know that in all of this, reeling yourself in is critical. In marriage situations, sometimes you're going to need a mediator who can help you to respond in a way that doesn't create further distress in your relationship. I guess it's important for you to realize that you once were very much in love with each other and probably still are, but something went awry. There's so much stuff going on in life and in the world and in the neighborhood and on TV and stuff that just makes you feel, you know, stressed. And so that can sometimes come out when you're trying to manage your day or move forward. So many things are going on. But don't allow that stress, again, choosing the emotional, intelligent choice. If you can tell yourself that this is not the right way to respond to my wife, this is not the right way for me to respond to my husband, and saying, you know, honey, you know, baby, maybe we need to find somebody to help us so we can go back to our happy place. And do whatever it takes if you're trying to save your relationship and save your marriage. It won't be just like what I've been talking about, just in the moment where everything can be made all right. Because you may say to yourself, okay, let's call a truce right now. And if you're that savvy, then wonderful. If you can just reel yourself in and start like none of the stresses and arguments and fights and harmful words never happened, that's marvelous. But if you can't, then don't hesitate to find a very fine, a very good professional who can help you get yourself back to a place where your days and encounters with each other are not feeling that way. And that's the same recommendation I would make for any relationships that hold real value or are important to you. Very often what's going to happen when you say, let's talk this out, that turns out to be a very upside down situation. You tried, but it just turned upside down. It went left and sideways and some kind of other way. Don't feel any bit of hesitation or shame about seeking professional intervention in a relationship that's important or valuable. I do think it's critical to have self-inspection and to realize that you may be a problem, that problems that you're having are creating additional problems. That's just called self-investigation and self-awareness. And when we learn those things about ourselves, we do become smarter and wiser about how we handle not just those relationships, but relationships with everybody. And so that's, you know, kind of what I am today in this coaching, a type of intervention, a type of awareness for you on going forward. And even if it's just a catalyst, then that's wonderful. That means my job was a success here today, because I want you to have that understanding. A lot of times stuff that's going on in our lives is so self-propelled, so self-escalated. We have to learn things about ourselves, our way of communication, our way of interacting, that bring about more positive results. So I hope that that helped you with some of the understanding of how to use emotional intelligence. It means that whatever situation you're in, whatever it is, you know, as I said, there's a big spectrum, and I only talked about a couple of things, but it all, everything I've said is to help you to adjust or adapt your responses, reactions, and behaviors so that they are correct. You've heard that term, come correct. Well, that's what we're trying to do in the real sense of the word, come correct in these situations. All right. I know that was a lot, but anyway, I'm not done yet. So managing your own emotions, and we've talked about that, but we're breaking that down a little bit more, even just based on that definition that I gave you. That definition talked about relieving stress. And again, we're all feeling it. And these past couple of years have been just wild and drummed up wild stress in us, stuff we just didn't even anticipate. So much change and so much information and so much processing and so much negativity that came along with that. It created a whole lot of stress. Now, you can choose some negative responses to that, and that's, you know, pill popping, alcohol abuse, drugs. Now, I am an advocate, if you seriously need a professional to prescribe something for you that helps you navigate your day-to-day better, if you've come to that determination, that's a positive thing. If it helps you manage your day, navigating it, your personality, all of that, then of course that's a viable choice to make, to talk to a professional about it if you're having trouble for real on a level that you just can't get it together. It makes sense to do that. But they're selling, you know, stuff over the counter at 7-Eleven and, you know, places like that where it's supposed to help you with your stress, you know, or maybe your challenge is you're just not doing well, and they've got pills now that can help you supposedly have 10 times the energy, you know. And the energy drinks, you know, I think energy drinks are the devil. Sorry for anybody that really enjoys them, but I just do. Things like that are only going to increase the stress. It may be keeping you awake or feeling like you can move a mile a minute or whatever, but those are not the stress relievers that are most recommended. I can remember being at a job where it was very stressful, and every now and then I had to get up and leave the area where I worked just to go spend 10 or 15 minutes peering out the window. Because as I would look out the window at the sky is still, it's pretty, it's quiet. And so that helped to quiet my mentality, my emotions, my spirit place. That worked for me. I would spend a few minutes doing that and then take a deep breath, you know, maybe go get a snack or something, and then get back to work. It's worth trying. It's worth trying. If you're in a situation where any type of stress relief is needed, analyze what it is that you're able to do without it causing any disruption from where you are. Again, encounters can cause stress. You know, don't hesitate to just stay quiet in the midst of a challenge that's verbal or a situation where it seems like there's chaos happening. To say nothing and do nothing is a very good choice when things are occurring that have upheaval in them. Again, we're talking emotional intelligence. And you may be thinking, but I gotta say something, or I gotta do something. They said this to me, or they did that to me. If I could give you an account of all the things people have said and done to me in my life, my list would probably be a lot longer than yours, a lot. I've had some, I mean, lies told, gossip made up, just all kinds of nonsense. And then direct hits, you know, but people lie to you to your face and making up stuff, just all kinds of things. However, again, you know who I maintain and monitor? Myself. I rarely have approached any of the people directly about what they did or said. I will if it comes up in a conversation. Typically, if you've done something that I feel is inappropriate to me in my life, the thing that's going to happen more likely is that we have to sever our relationship, or I have to sever myself from the situation, which is another intelligent move to make if that's what's required. But as I said, if I responded and reacted without emotional intelligence to all of the things that have happened to me in my life, like a lot of you were feeling, probably be in jail, locked under the jail. Because a lot of that stuff made me extremely upset, angry, disappointed, wanting to respond in a way that wasn't healthy. But I knew it wasn't worth it for how it would fall out for my life. That part is the important and critical part of it. Let them tell their story. Let them tell their lies. Let them do their gossip. Let them try to act ugly and do ugly things toward you. Let that be on them. But what I can manage and monitor is all of my reactions, all of my responses, not just some of them, all of them. And I just am determined, like I'd like for you to not be triggered to act irresponsibly in any of those situations. You don't have to tell anybody off. If you want to try to have an intelligent conversation, yeah, you can try. If it works, great. If it doesn't, still be okay. That's how you have to handle it. Another emotionally intelligent response, again, as I said a little earlier, is just kind of knowing things may shake out all right when you do something or have a conversation, or they may not. And you got to be okay with that. You don't have to keep something going on, lingering for the day, for the week, for months, for years later after something has happened. And many people do that. People let that go. Let that nonsense go. It's not worth it. Your happiness is too important. Your self-maintenance is too important. Your life is too important to be caught up in all of that. As I said, people, it's going to happen every single day, and it's going to happen often. You have got to be the one to monitor, maintain, gauge how you respond to anything and everything. Communicating effectively. That can be a challenge when you're trying to talk to people and you both are just not connecting the dots on what you're trying to understand. What I find myself doing, learn to say things five different ways and hope that, you know, it's going to get caught on one of those explanations. Typically it does. It takes some patience when you're dealing with people who either don't want to hear what you're saying or they're not getting it. However, if you can do that and you don't have to say, I just said blah, 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 blah. How many times do I have to explain it? I just said blah, 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 blah. No, you just say it again, or you can ask, what is it that, what part of this do you need me to explain to you? The thing I'm trying to get across is effective communication, of course, is one person understanding the other, being able to respond in a way that makes sense to the other person. That's a simple explanation of it all. But it's the critical part of it to keep you, again, from feeling some kind of way that may make you respond in a way that, again, is not good. So seek to get on the same page. We all know that term. Seek to get on the same page with each other. And that, again, is another intelligent move. And then empathizing with others. Empathy, you know, again, right now we have to really consider that, because everybody is just, you know, we've been kind of messed up with this whole pandemic thing, and now this war, and all of us are feeling that on our hearts. And, you know, so we got to remember, a lot of us are carrying around emotional stuff because we feel a lot of the compassion and care and concern, and it may be creating anxiety and distress and worry. And so we got to remember, too, when we're interacting with people, they may be carrying some of that. So, again, we reel ourselves in and just remember, okay, I can probably take a more responsible, a softer approach to how I'm handling this or what I'm saying to this person, because I have no idea what they may be going through, what's already hurting in their life. They may have a parent that's ill. They may be ill and you don't know it. They may be facing financial issues. They may be having at-home issues and things like that. So when we are communicating and trying to do that effectively, it helps for us to understand that all of us, again, we're all having this whole experience, all of us. And if we can remember to respond with respect, that's the best word for all of it, with respect, and communicate on that way until it gets us, again, on the same page. Overcoming challenges. Listen, you're taking a risk if you don't respond in ways that are responsible. Because, again, the thing with Will Smith, I just hate it for him. I do. You know, he's been a favorite. He's been a favorite. I enjoy his work. And so I felt hurt for him. Not just the shock of what happened, but I felt hurt because I could see clearly what was about to happen as a result. You know, I even posted something about a Humpty Dumpty syndrome. You know, there will be a comeback. But what it's going to look like, I don't have any idea. I imagine he feels a great deal of remorse. But here's the thing. We have to realize that when we do stuff, we are taking a risk. I don't want to deal with any remorse. I don't want to deal with repercussions of something I did that was inappropriate or stupid. I don't want to deal with that in myself, in my life. So, again, I'm saying it for you, too. Realize that when you're about to go off on somebody that you don't even know, or that road rage situation, or, again, so many other things, you're taking a risk. But it may work on you, and probably will, in ways that you didn't want to deal with. You thought about how you know, that felt in the moment. I said this or I did this. Okay, and now you're in jail or hurt. Or who knows what, something continuing on and on that's very negative. Emotional intelligence is going to tell you, or should tell you, that you're taking a risk if you do this negative thing, if you say this negative thing. That's the thing you've got to tell yourself, that you're taking a risk. So every challenge that comes along, overcome it with that thought. Oh, don't think I'm going to be doing that because, you know, that's not going to work out for me if I punch this person that I don't even know, or if I ram my car into them, or whatever it is. Chances are it's going to hit you back in a way you just didn't anticipate. So tell yourself, overcoming those challenges by telling yourself the risk and the repercussions are way too great for me to do this. Well, you may be a person who just can't think that fast. Well, it's a skill to tell yourself to think that fast. You probably heard people say, well, count to 10 or take a deep breath, a few deep breaths. Well, that stuff works because it will give you at least a few seconds to tell yourself what I'm telling you. It works. These are just easy skills. Now, overcoming how you know, been reacting will take a minute. But if you keep practicing it, as I'm explaining it to you, people, I promise you, it will become second nature to you. It may take a lot of work. But listen, you've got stuff every day. So you got so many opportunities every single day to practice exactly what I'm telling you. At every opportunity, you've got the opportunity to do some self-talk and some monitoring of how you're going to respond, and then to actually practice it in your behavior and in your words every single day. So use every opportunity to do that. Diffusing conflict. Well, again, sometimes you're already there and in it, and you wonder, now what? There are things that you can do, and that is decide to bite your tongue, because you know, again, this is going to a place where it's just not going to be good for either of us. Bite your tongue. Now, that wasn't an original Silver Ray Fox comment. You've heard it a gazillion times in your lifetime. And you know why? Because it's something we all need to learn to do in particular circumstances, is bite our tongue. Interestingly, it doesn't just say, shut your mouth, bite your tongue. Bite enough that it hurts that you know that that's what you're reminding yourself to do, is to shut up. And when you do that, again, that's a diffusion that can be so immediate. And even finding yourself saying, you know what, to the person, you know what, I'm so sorry. This is not what I meant to happen. You know, let's talk about this in a little while or later. bite your tongue. Bite it hard. Bite it hard. Hard enough to remind you that you're diffusing a situation. Okay? Another thing is stop and vision the aftermath of a poor response or behavior. And I've talked a little bit about it. I'm reminded of a class that I was teaching on this, and the person's boss had put them in this class particularly because they were having some strong issues with their supervisor. So there's the boss, there's the supervisor, and then there's this gentleman who was having an issue. Well, he was disturbed because one thing, he thought he should have gotten the position, the supervisor position, but they pulled somebody else and put them in the supervisor position over him. And this person happened to be like 20 years younger than him. So he felt a whole lot of things about what was going on and had talked himself into hating this new supervisor. Was there in reality an issue going on? Well, an issue was created because he did not want to follow the day-by-day rules and things that went on in the workplace anymore. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be guided by this individual. Well, let me tell you what happened. In class, literally this man said, "This is all ending today." You know, and he used a couple cuss words and said, "Gonna die. He's gonna die today." And I thought, oh my God, what? Well, as crazy as it sounded, I was glad he said it out loud because I needed to deal with that. That was serious. And so I took the opportunity to ask him at the break if I could talk to him by himself. And so I let him talk out loud about what he was experiencing emotionally. And, of course, I understood. However, my objective at that point was to diffuse that situation because, literally, that other man was about to lose his life. And the gentleman who was going to inflict this harm was going to lose years and years of pension. You know, he was going to be in jail for murder. So I was able to talk him out of it by explaining to him exactly what the aftermath of what he was going to do was going to look like. And he didn't look like at the point he was buying it, but I could see his wheels turning and thinking, because I brought up every point I could think of to help him reel himself in. Well, he went on to lunch. He came back, and for the rest of the class, which ended at around 4, he said absolutely nothing, not a word. But after class, he came to me and thanked me for helping him see that whole thing a whole different way. And he knew that by responding appropriately, intelligently, he was saving himself and saving his life. So it's important for us to really think about the aftermath of poor choices that we make about our behavior and our reactions. Is it easy? No. It's not, because you want to see it the way you want to see it in the moment because you think that's the right thing. But again, give yourself pause and stop. Dare to stop and think about what's going to happen when you do that thing that's a poor choice, that's a wrong choice, that's a bad choice, very poor choice. Think about it. Again, we're taking risks when we do things, and it's only going to come to slap us in the face. That's usually what happens. learn to know yourself and your triggers. Sometimes we walk into situations and we already know about how it's going to shake out. We know that that person knows how to push our buttons, or, you know, we know that this particular situation in dealing with the IRS or the, you know, Social Security people or the light bill company or whatever, we already know that that stuff is going to trigger some negative responses. And so what makes sense? What's common sense for us at this point? To tell ourselves, okay, whew, I know it's always a challenge dealing with these people, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to tell them what I need to know, what I need to understand, and I'm going to walk away today with that, without going into a zone that doesn't get us any place, because I'm yelling at them trying to make them do what I want to do. I'm cursing at them trying to make them do what I want them to do. Well, you know what? Again, probably going to get you in nowhere land. So if you know that these people are businesses or whatever stress you out, just take the time to know your triggers and tell yourself the necessary self-talk before you go into that encounter with them. It will really help. And then there's times where you'll need to be the bigger person. And a lot of people hate that because they don't want to be the bigger person. They want to give the biggest punch. And I'll use another story, and this is another at-work story for me. I had made a horrific mistake at work that challenged the paperwork going forward for something that needed to happen better than it did. But this mistake was discovered by my supervisor, and she was fit to be tied. She was angry at me. She came over to me and got nose to nose practically and started yelling and screaming at me when she discovered it. I didn't know what she was talking about right away until she managed to get all of it out. And she had her fist balls up in, you know, while she was talking to me. So I'm looking at her. I'm sitting down. She's standing over me, bent over, yelling in my face. And so she stormed away after she said everything she wanted to say without hitting me. However, I was sitting there like, what? You know, well, yeah, I think I may have balled my fists up too while she was talking. But our boss, her boss and my boss, came over to me quickly because I guess he saw some rage or something on my face. And he bent over and quietly said to me, be the bigger person. I'm like, oh, shoot, what does that even mean? But I took time to think about it. I thought it was such an honor that he came over to me and said that, because the mistake I made affected him too. It was our department. But I did realize that he was saying, don't go there with her. Don't do that, because we're just going to have a big situation. Rather than that, be the bigger person. I was a girl when that happened. I think I was 18, 19. I have lived with that concept because it is so powerful. And in so many circumstances, you know, it seemed to me that why should I be the bigger person? Because I choose to be the bigger person. I don't have to say it to the individual. I don't have to be like, oh, I'm going to be the bigger person. No, not that. It was just an emotional, intelligent choice to make in whatever circumstances I faced later on. I live with that. I think it is one of the most powerful skills and tools I've ever gained in life. And I'm so happy that that particular boss had that much care and concern for me and for the overall atmosphere at work. I live with it. It's an important skill and tool restraining yourself, people, isn't always going to be just the top off the top of your head, like, okay, don't do that. But again, just be reminded that I'm suggesting to you today to take those breaths and those countdowns. You know, if you have to count to 100, do whatever. Step away, back up even, just to break up the atmosphere that may be occurring. Break up the encounter that may be occurring. Restrain yourself. Think before acting. Sound like I'm saying the same thing over. I told you I can say the same thing 5 different ways. I want you to get it if you didn't get it the other way. Think before you act. And particularly, learn to pick your battles. Most of the stuff that we're experiencing is hardly worth us putting ourselves or other people at risk. Particularly think about yourself. Particularly think about yourself and the risk that it will create. Not just for yourself, for your family members, for your life, for your livelihood. So many things you could be putting at risk just because you didn't make an intelligent decision or choice about how to handle your emotions. And I want to say this as I do attempt to wrap this up. Do the self-work that it takes to embrace the things that I've talked about today. Do the self-work. I've shared a lot of skills, a lot of tools, a lot of things that can be extremely helpful in you having and living out your best life without a whole lot of drama. That's what it boils down to. You're eliminating a lot of drama when you take this stuff to heart. You're eliminating a lot of drama. You're eliminating a lot of remorse. You're eliminating horrible outcomes. All of that. Just by learning how to do this. Do some self-inspection. See what it is, you know, that you need to do in regard to what I have just said. And you will see almost immediately in some of these cases that you already are getting a better and more positive response. I know I've said a lot about emotional intelligence. I hope I've said enough that can help any of us evolve more in that area. Again, it's every day, people. There's going to be something that creates some degree of discomfort, us feeling ill at ease, us feeling conflicted, us feeling like we want to react in ways that we think is the best way. But here are these things I want you to take away. I want you to take away everything I said, but one, decide today after hearing all of this to behave differently. Decide to behave differently. If you have been yelling, cursing, fighting, you know, with all of that chaotic kind of behavior, decide today are going to behave differently. Decide to respond better and smarter. So, okay, I've decided I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to pick up some of these tools that Silver Ray talked about. I'm going to listen to some other information about it. I'm going to maybe take a class if I have to, so that I learn to do this better and smarter than I have been doing. That's what you do. And then third and lastly, rehearse and learn to respond in the ways that you absolutely know are appropriate and responsible behavior. Rehearse it. As I said, there are all kinds of opportunities throughout the entire day, every day, to learn from them and to rehearse how you're going to respond in an appropriate and responsible way. Now, if you don't believe that that was some good stuff, I just have to go ahead and say it myself. That was some good stuff. And I hope, again, that I was able to share something with you that you can glean from, that you can really take to heart and take to task to make it work in your own life. So with all of that being said, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you for that, and I hope you will take a moment to even share the Foxology episode that you just listened to, and maybe for the purpose of inspiring someone else to help them get their act together. I do want to mention, too, a lot of people did not maybe know that I had such an extensive coaching background, but I do. And if you're interested in coaching, either one-on-one or at your work or business or in your group, you can email me at silverrayfox@gmail.com, silverrayfox@gmail.com, and we can set up a time to talk, and you can tell me about what it is that you want. If I can do that, if it's in my area of expertise and knowledge, I will be happy for us to continue talks about how to make that happen. I'm not that person that's going to say, oh, yeah, I can help you with that, because that would be literally impossible for me to say, because there's too many issues. But I am able to help in so many ways. So please take advantage of reaching out to me via email at silverrayfox@gmail.com. And if you're interested in some further coaching opportunities or training opportunities, I'm here for you. I want to remind you that I have a couple of books available. What is Faith and Stay in the Ring? They're both on Amazon. Ah, yeah, I say it loud and proud because I'm excited about it. I self-published and they thought it was all good, and so they're there. When you search for them, What is Faith or Stay in the Ring, keep in mind there are other authors who have used those titles, so you will have to put Silver Ray Fox after that title, or just put Silver Ray Fox in the search at Amazon and my books should pop up. I have a website where I do a lot of writing, great articles, great articles I've been writing for years, and there's a menu where you can click on things that I've written and I'll find some more motivation and inspiration and insight about stuff. That's silverrayfox.com, silverrayfox.com. I also have an offer right now. I'm giving away 5 more books this month. If you purchase my audio, my 18-minute audio, Stay in the Ring, what happens when you go into the site and you purchase it for 99 cents, it asks for your email, and that's how I know who you are. So don't be afraid of that. I'm not going to just deluge you with email information from me. That's something that I have not done and won't be doing, other than for the opportunity, again, to offer something to you for partnering with me with a purchase. So if you want to do that and be put in the hat for winning one of the books, please go ahead and do that. It's on my Facebook page at Silver Ray Fox, and it's also on silverrayfox.com that you can make that happen. I also have another blog where I post a daily inspiration. In fact, I've been doing that for several years and decided just recently to start recycling some of that, because I know some of you are new to seeing those messages. But there's something every day that's just a word of inspiration and encouragement. It's Let's Talk About Faith, and the actual site is Faith is How We Live. It's How We Live. blogspot.com. Faith is How We Live. blogspot.com. If you Google Silver Ray Fox, a lot of this stuff is just going to pop up, and you're going to see, and you can just click it there if you don't remember some of the things that I just mentioned. I've got some great guests coming up later this month, and I think you're going to enjoy what they bring to the table. So I'm hoping that you will remember Foxology on your list of things to do with your goals and intentions and ideas and all that stuff that I mentioned in the beginning. You know, I enjoy talking to you. I'm always going to bring you something that's worthy and that works and that blesses you. You can count on that. So with all that being said, I want you to have a wonderful day. I want you to have a wonderful life. I want you to be happy. Look for it every single day in some little way or some big way. Strive to find your happiness. So you go about doing that. Be good, be blessed, and be awesome. Talk to you next time.